Hello, brothers and sisters in the Lord. Hope you guys are having a good week. Being safe and taking this time, if you're at home, to reflect on God's Word and how to become, or how to become a better Christian in the sense of going out there and reaching the lost. Hope you guys had a good Sunday, if it be by the way online or drive-through preaching. You know, the Holy Spirit led this on me to do for a while now. I've been researching and researching and still researching to write a series sermon on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And the last sermon, the first in the series, was on love. Today will be on joy. And to me, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, even is our walking in the Spirit, is very important, especially as a Christian. And walking less in the flesh, the works of the flesh. And the two passages that we're going to look at, and that we will be looking through this whole time through this series, is Galatians 5, 16 through 26, and Matthew 7, 16 through 20. I encourage you guys to memorize these passages and just cling to them, especially Galatians 5, 16 through 26. Just one of the prayers I pray, you know, when I'm there, is let me walk more in the Spirit and less in the flesh. Let me show more love and long suffering and gentleness and goodness, temperance and meekness, joy and peace and faith, and less walking in the works of the flesh, and that's adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness, and, you know, goes on and on. And I found when I pray like this, I have that added into my prayer life. I find myself walking more in the Spirit. And it's one of those things I just didn't come to, you know, I'm a hard learner, so it took me a while to start praying like that and realizing that I can't do it in my own strength. It's only through the Holy Spirit that's inside me that does that. And my prayer and my hope is that this sermon, who's ever out there listening to it, that it just sheds a little light on the fruit of the Holy Spirit and what it really means in a life that we should exhibit to this world. I've never really heard a sermon preached on the fruit of the Holy Spirit, just strictly on the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and the works of the flesh. And I started writing some of these sermons, and of course, I'll probably modify them eventually, probably compile it into a very, very crisp sermon series. Right now, it's kind of still a little rough on my outline, and we're just going to let the Holy Spirit guide us and direct us within these passages. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians 5, 16 through 26, and that's in the next one we'll read will be Matthew 7, 16 through 20. These are kind of theme passages that we're going to relate to throughout the sermon. Galatians 5, 16 through 26. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hate, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, sedition, and heresies, envy, murdering, drunkenness, revelling, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past that they which do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affliction, the affections and the lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not desire of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Matthew 7:16 through 20 tells us this. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree bring forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bring forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bring not forth good fruit is hammed down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Bow with me. Heavenly Father, we just come today just thanking you for the opportunity, Lord, just to be able to speak the words that you have me to speak today, Lord. I pray that whoever is listening to this, Lord, I pray, Lord, that it touches their heart. They may not ever heard a sermon on the fruit of the Spirit, but it's so important. We need soldiers and warriors out there that walk more in the Spirit and less in the flesh, Lord. When we do that, we become very powerful. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, Lord, as forgive me where I failed you. You know I'm just a wretched man. I humble myself, though, at your feet. And I pray, Lord, you take this message and you do whatever you need to do with it. If it's only one person, God, that it reaches, Lord, I'm just a messenger, nothing more. I pray, Lord, that you take over everything I say, Lord. You guide and direct this sermon, Lord. And whoever's out there, let it reach them, Lord. Let it enter their heart, Lord. Let it open their minds, Lord, to the Spirit of God that's within them. If they don't have the Spirit of God, Lord, I pray, Lord, that they seek it out to become yours. Lord, I thank you once again just getting us through the weekend. And Lord, so far I pray that who's out there maybe struggling, Lord, that you give them comfort and hope within your design. That these storms don't last forever, they're only temporary, Lord. Lord, I pray over our nation, Lord, that you just, whatever's going on with all this chaos and hate, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you raise up soldiers, warriors for you that'll storm in and say, we're taking our nation back because we're putting God first in everything. We're putting God back in schools and businesses and workplaces, Lord. Lord, thank you again for giving me an opportunity to preach your word and to speak your word. Pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen. I don't know, guys, when we look over this world and, you know, and the joy that this world express, is it the same joy that as a Christian should have when you look across the landscape of this world? If you think back in your life when you may have experienced the most joy, maybe it was experiencing joy when you got married. Maybe you experienced joy when you got a promotion at work. Maybe you experienced joy when you looked at your firstborn and looked into her or his beautiful eyes. Maybe you experienced joy when you graduated from high school, college, graduate school, maybe doctorate, med school. Maybe you experienced when your child or children got married. But is this the same joy that the Bible speaks of? simple answer is no. And the point of this sermon is several points, but I guess the main point is help us understand our joy is different than the world's joy. And how that should look as we walk out into that world. And that's really the heart of this sermon series. We went over love and agape love and what that's supposed to look like. It's an agape love that's a love that is kind of supernatural, right? It's self-sacrificing, unadulterated, pure love. Which is seen solely on at the death and crucifixion of our Lord, of Jesus, right? You sit there and you read the passages and everything that happened. It breaks my heart every time. A good movie to watch, which what I like about Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ, and there are inaccuracies to the movie, and most of those movies they come out with in Hollywood, there's going to be inaccuracies, but one thing that throughout the movie that really grips me is the crucifixion and the stuff that he had to go through, all theological stuff behind, in the sense of this didn't take place here, this didn't take place, and he might have not been speaking Aramaic, maybe it was something else, you know, maybe Greek, but looking at this, how he suffered, even that movie doesn't even shed light on exactly the pain and the suffering that he went through. There, I was reading an interview, and Mel Gibson said he had to cut things out of the movie because he wouldn't be able to play it because it was too graphic. So he had to, so that just tells us the crucifixion and death was worse than what we see in Mel Gibson's film. Hebrews 12:2 says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Paul tells us here, the joy that was set before him. He's saying during that crucifixion, our Jesus Christ, that joy that he endured on the cross, and all that shame he took, that was joy. That just, you know, it kind of blows your mind. Because the crucifixion, as we talked, was horrible. But he counted that joy. So when we're looking at a Christian joy, it's not a self thing, guys. Look at me. I'm so happy. I have this, you know, beautiful house with all these nice things, and all the nice things bring me joy. But that's the world's joy. Our joy is in the name of Jesus Christ. And I was looking at one thing that helps me really put joy in focus here is, you look at the capital J, the capital O, the capital Y. That's Jesus over you. It's not about you. Your joy don't depend on material, social, or psychological status. It does not depend on your situation or the challenges that you're facing. But it is about Jesus and what he can do when you're facing things in your life. And when you're going out into the world, you're going to be that light within the darkness. And the world will hate you. But but the joy within inside of us trumps all of that. No matter what we're going through, First Peter 4:13, Paul puts it this way: But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. James 1:2 tells us, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. That's many temptations. 2 Corinthians 8:2 tells us how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abound unto the riches of their liberty. They are all saying, during our times of suffering and challenges, we should not have a frown on our face, but recognize that Jesus will provide a point and a way for us to show the glory of God that's within us as we're suffering or we're facing those challenges and those situations. That it's not about us. It's about the work that God is doing inside of us. Jesus over you. And it's also about standing on the promises that God has promised, that He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. It gives us an opportunity to show, regardless of what's going on, maybe the roof's falling in, God's got this. See, the devil doesn't know what to do with a person that truly has that type of joy. I truly believe he don't understand it. It baffles him. He's scratching his head and he's like, what is going on? This guy or woman should be already pulling out their hair and cussing God. No, he don't get it. You know, one of many examples in the Bible, I think of Paul and Silas. And you can see that in Acts 16:21-26. You got Paul and Silas here. They were stripped naked and they were beaten. And they were, of course, beat with many stripes. And that was very painful. And they were cast into prison. But just not in. They were cast in the deepest and darkest and filthiest and nasty part of the prison. And their feet were in stocks. I mean, they were locked up pretty good. But what really blows my mind is that midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and they sung praises unto a God. I don't know if I could have done that. I pray that I could have. I pray I don't ever have to go through something like that. But if I had to go through something, that I pray that I have the same joy in my soul. What power, guys. Regardless of our situation and suffering, they and we still can recognize where our joy and our hope come from. So when you're out in that world, we're supposed to be different, right? And we are challenged with things of this world because we live in a corrupt world. That could be losing a child or children. That could be losing a job. That could be losing a house. That could be losing a car. Of course, the list goes on and on. We have to understand all these stuff are material and that God's got this. Because if we are a child of God, we have the Holy Spirit, that is Jesus, living inside each and every one of His children. And because of this, our faith that's in the hope of Jesus, that He will never leave us and He will never forsake us. And the hope in that one day all of this stuff is just temporary. John 16:20-22 tells us this, "Very, very, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. Ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. As a woman when she is in travail with sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers not more the anguish. For the joy that a man is born into the world. And ye know, therefore, have sorrow. But I will say again, your heart shall rejoice. And your joy no man taketh away." Romans 15:13 tells us this. "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope." Of course, through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, in my life, I struggle with this. Still to a degree, but I found the more I pray, like I was saying earlier, and the more I start leaning on Jesus and less on myself, it's been a learning process, right? You know, and you guys out there, y'all may get it. You know, in my life, I experienced moments of growth in my joy and experienced challenging growing, of course, the fruit of life. And, you know, I had my share of challenging situations. I'm probably going to be faced with more before it's over with. That's the, you know, that's it rains on the just and the unjust. But how the just responds should be different than the unjust, right? Children of God should respond different than the children of Satan. I've lost jobs, and I'll give it, you know, and when I know from personal experience when I've lost my job, and I lost more than I would care to mention, but, you know, it's devastating. It just feels like the air has just been knocked out of you. When I was younger, I did a lot of mixed martial arts and fighting, and you get your air knocked out. It's pretty horrible, you know, but when you do that, and then next thing you know, you have all these rushing of thoughts coming in, and how you're gonna pay the bills, and how you're gonna pay your car notes and house notes, electrical, water. You know what I mean? The list goes on and on and on and on. In those moments, it's tough, guys. It's tough. I know for me, it was. And but one thing I found, you just pause and get on your knees and lean hard on Jesus. And one thing I like looking at scriptures, and I like singing songs, praising God, and I like praising God, period. But in those moments when you're in that anguish and you're praising God, there's a relief that comes at least over me. And you feel like everything's going to be okay. That's the joy, guys. Because now you realize it's not about you. You're placing Jesus at the center of everything. That's joy. That's Jesus over you. That's a powerful joy, guys. And that is a joy. That's how you define joy. If you don't remember anything, just remember Jesus over you. As we look at Matthew 7:16-20. I'll just read it again. "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs of thistles? And even so, good tree bring forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bring forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bring not forth good fruit is cut down and is cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits you shall know them." This is serious, guys. Not my words, but Jesus' words. Jesus says that every tree that don't bring forth good fruit is hemmed down. It is cut down. That is cut down and cast into the fire. And this fire here is not a positive notation. It's very negative. I would say that's even being cast into hell. what Jesus is saying here to us today, as he was saying to the and during that time, within our lives as Christians, our followers of Jesus, fruit should be seen in our lives. As I preached on love last sermon, I spoke on the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, agape love, as we're talking about joy today. Of course, in that first sermon, I distinguished and gave a few, one key example for fruit and fruits. You can see that fruit appears to be singular in Galatians 5 and plural in Matthew 7. And there's many thoughts on that. I gave one. But the goal of this sermon is really not to really focus on the differences of the two words. The point of the sermon is to help you understand how your joy, that a biblical joy is different than the world's joy, and that we should have joy within our life and what it should look like, of course, as a Christian. You know, when I was living any way in the world, my joy closely resembled the world's joy. You know, I was happy when I graduated from college, and I was happy when I got a car, and all that stuff, all that joy that I thought, and I was happy when I got a nice apartment and a nice job and promotions. I had a joy in my heart that was of the world. Now, what I do is when I get anything like that, I immediately praise God for it. And I look forward to being able to use that some way to be able to witness about God. I get an apartment, I want to talk about Jesus. I get a new car, I want to talk about Jesus with that person. Because more joy I found is when I talk to somebody and you're looking at them and you're talking about salvation. And they get it and they want to know more about it. And you tell them things about, you know, the whole salvation message. They get it, and you see it kind of clicking there, and that right there brings me more joy than anything. But as I was living out in that world, and I was dishonoring God through my lifestyle, and grieving the Holy Spirit within me by using drugs and alcohol, all kind of stuff, you know, tore me up. I didn't want nothing to do with the church or God's people. But one thing I did regardless was, even though I was living in that severe state, I still feared God in the sense that I would not blaspheme or not really blaspheme. I would not rub his name in the mud. And I want to tell you, within our churches today, you have professing Christians out there that claim to be something they're not. They enjoy the walking more in the flesh than the spirit. And listen, guys, this should grieve us when we're walking more in the flesh and less in the spirit. The Holy Spirit inside of us, it grieves us. We grieve the Holy Spirit, and that's how one of you know you're a child of God, because you quench the spirit. And if you guys out there may know what I'm talking about, you do something and you feel like you've been punched in the face, literally, and you have to repent. I don't believe that a person can stay in that state too long, not be happy. That's the problem with today. You got many professing Christians out there think they can live in these states and enjoy their sin and still profess a Christianity that is, and even when I was out there in the world, I would not call myself a Christian. I wouldn't dare. Because I knew better. I was raised in church, and I knew I was walking in the flesh. It's very important for us to understand walking in the Spirit and walking and walking more in the spirit and less in the flesh. And this joy that we're talking about, I want to give just an example of this. Say you're at home and you get a call from work to come in. It's your day off and they're shorthanded and they need you. How do you respond to this situation? Maybe you have something planned you can't, or maybe you just don't want to go in. Do you count that joy for your opportunity to go back to work and maybe be a witness to somebody at work that you would normally have not done, and say, okay, you head to work and you say, okay, I'm coming in, and your car breaks down? How do you respond to this situation? Do you count it all joy now that you have to figure out a way to get your car towed and work on it? And do you have the money? And do you get upset? Do you start cussing? Do you start getting angry? Do you start blaming everybody? Do you count it all joy? See, our joy is different than this world. And yes, we all at point our fruit, we have different rates of growth, and growing can be painful. But while I was speaking about the Holy Spirit, when we do something contrary to the Holy Spirit and we grieve the Holy Spirit, we sin against the Holy Spirit, it's that walking the flesh, the Holy Spirit corrects us. It should feel that correction. I don't like playing fast and loose with somebody's salvation. I will always assume the extreme when I see a person is yielding to the evil fruit, the evil tree producing that evil fruit, and it's cast in the fire. I literally take that person as truly have not repented and came to a saving knowledge of Jesus, and they will be cast into hell if they died right then and there. I don't like playing loose when I see that and saying, oh, okay, that person's an immature Christian. I don't like playing that. I prefer to assume the worst, because hell is real. I don't want nobody to go there. And Jesus didn't want nobody to go there. Hell was not designed for us. It was designed for Satan and his demons. As I close this sermon out, I want to say, as Christians, our joy is different than this world. Our joy is Jesus over you. I would say Jesus over us. It's the Holy Spirit that lives in each and every one of His children. I spoke on my life and I gave some examples of, I gave a lot of scriptures here and about Paul and Silas in jail and what they face, and they started praying and singing praises to Jesus. That's amazing, right? Well, they were beaten, they were stripped down, they were thrown in a filthy prison. They still had joy to pray and praise God for their situation. That's faith and hope in Jesus Christ and on all the promises that Jesus told them and us in the Holy Spirit. And one day this life will be over. And all these challenges we face in this life, they're only temporary. Wherever you're going through, it will not last forever, I promise you. The only most important thing that will matter in this life when it's over will not be how much joy you felt or have for your nice house, or how much joy you felt or have for a nice car, truck, boat, lawnmower, etc., etc. It will not be on how much joy you have getting that job that brings forth a lot of income that allows you to experience a vacation, experience the nice things of this life, vacation, going on vacation, taking time off. It will not be how much joy you have or had for a child or children, staring at a newborn child. The only and most important thing that will matter is how we demonstrated a true biblical joy among the whosoevers of this world. And did my life reach, or did I speak of my joy to that lost by my life, the way I lived in front of them, that they truly know there is a difference in me. And guys, that difference is Jesus Christ. That is joy. Unspeakable. Love you guys. If you guys have any prayer requests, just hit me up. You can hit me up on Facebook. You can hit me up on this website. I have contact number there and all that. Love you guys. Bow with me and we'll finish out with prayer. Heavenly Father, if you just come today, just thanking for the opportunity to preach the gospel. I pray this message reach whoever is out there that needs to hear it, Lord. I pray that whatever situation somebody's going through today, Lord, maybe they're saved, maybe they're not. I don't know the situation. You know the situation, God. I pray, Lord, let them know there's a different joy than this world's joy. A joy that will reach so deep within the hurt. And tell that person it'll be okay. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that this message just goes out to the whosoever's of the world. Reaches whoever that needs to hear it, Lord. I pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Love you guys. Be careful. Hit me up on Facebook or my website if you need to talk about anything. I'm here for you guys. Bye.